The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Well, good morning and welcome. It's nice to see such a good crowd here this morning for Christ the King Sunday. This is a holy day, and for that we use the color white to remind us of that fact. We are celebrating our King today. We've just finished the longest season of the church calendar year, Sundays after Pentecost. We use the color green to remind us it was meant to be a season of growth and life, where we were learning what it means to be disciples and followers of Jesus, what it means to pick up our crosses and follow. And this day we find Jesus crucified, hanging on the cross with the inscription, "This is the King of the Jews." There he hangs for you and for me, our King, who came into the world for our sakes, that we might know life. Jesus came into the world to draw us back into relationship with God. That's why he came and endured all that he did, all of the misunderstandings, the hatred, the taunting, and the stumbling, the pain and suffering. He did that for you, so that you would have a relationship with God, the Creator. We begin to understand more fully in our readings for today what it is that God wants for us. He wants for us life. He went to the cross so that the sins of the world could be done away with. He goes there with the weight of our sins and puts sin, death, and the devil under his feet. It is in this time that we are reminded that darkness cannot win. As we move into the season of Advent, this is a perfect bridge Sunday, right? Darkness does not win. Death, the devil, darkness. Light comes in. Life wins. God wins because he draws us back into himself for our sakes and for the sake of all creation. It's easy to join that number and be taunting. It's easy to believe we are not part of that number, that we did nothing that sent Jesus to that cross. But the truth is that while we are here, we are still sinners, broken and hurting, having hurt others, and wondering what tomorrow might bring. We are quick in these times of fear and misunderstanding to forget about those around us and their needs and to only look inward. So we just had our election. We're looking to Thanksgiving. I've been hearing all kinds of people saying, I'm not going to my family's house because they're only going to be talking about blah, 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 right? I don't want to put up with it. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I've stopped watching TV. I've turned off the radio. All of these things calling us out of the world into ourselves. And yet Jesus says we are to be people living without fear because we know whose we are and we know what that means. We are people of promise. And he gets the last word. We can't look only inward because we have been commanded and taught to look outward for the sake of all creation, right? We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our being, everything that makes us who and what we are. And we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. This text teaches us finally and fully what it means to pick up our crosses. It means it is a death of our old sinful self and a rising to new life as children of God. People who can live in trust and faith and love so that others might have life, so that none will be forsaken, none will be forgotten. This is not a text, even though I know this text is coming. We have it every single year that I think of when I think of a king. I'm in the same boat with these people that when they heard, like in our Old Testament text, that there's a righteous branch coming, I'm thinking of a king like David who's going to conquer and rule and be strong and brave. But our king is humble. Humble to the point of death. That's what he asks us to do, to be humble to the point of death, to do away with those things that separate us from God and neighbor, and to live into the fullness of his promise. It's only then that we are truly the people that we were created to be. I think most of you know me, but I'm Christy. I serve the Church of Steadfast Love, which is still the newest congregation in the Northwest Washington Synod, thanks to folks like you who voted us in at the Synod Assembly. So thank you. We are a full recognized congregation of the ELCA. And we just were in Chicago this last weekend with the other new congregations in the ELCA, of which there are 11. We're actually not this year. We were the year before, if you were wondering. I don't remember them being at the Synod Assembly. Yes. And it was just a reminder of me how we need different spaces and different places to worship and hear God's word, because we're all different. There were no other congregations remotely like ours. Does that shock you? No. Seattle's different. We're different than the rest of the world. We were the only church from this region. And there were big churches, and there were churches trying new things to reach people that have never heard the word of God. And I thought, well, isn't that a blessing? Even though I didn't like, oh yeah, I'm not a big church person. I'm low church. Coming in here, high church is, well, it's different, but I like you guys. So, yeah. Some people like the big churches to come and to gather and to see all these other people who are thinking relatively the same to them. They like the coffee, like the cutting edge. And I just really was thinking, I am a pastor that was called to serve small churches. I'm called to serve small churches because for me, it's about community and it's about relationship, which my congregation would think is so funny. Because at this gathering, we had to do our personality test, and mine says, I don't really like people. I like to be by myself. I don't like to be touched. I'm not warm and friendly. All of this is true about me. I'm not a social person. But I do believe that we are called to be people in community and of relationship. We are called out of ourselves for the sake of the other. And when I was thinking all about all of this stuff and about how important relationship was, I've had several members in my church just weighing very heavy on my heart and mind lately because of the difficulties that they are in. And the one that really came to mind is Billy. And Billy has had a very hard life. From the day he was born, he has really been neglected and abused. And he turned to drugs very early in his life, thanks to his family, who shared them freely with him. And he's been living outdoors for some time now. And probably 2 months ago, a person living in a park decided that he wanted to live in that park all by himself. And he slashed him across the arm, trying to get him out of the park. And it was his left arm, and Billy is left-handed. But he used to, when he was a little more stable, work in an emergency room. So he used his gifts that came to him in this emergency. He was very level-headed, and he was able to staunch the bleeding and to call 911 and bless those first responders who were able to find him in the park at night. This is not a residential address. How do you find somebody and respond? And we're able to get him the care that he needed. I'd like to say that life was wonderful after that, but you know, it really wasn't. It's hard living outside. You know, you go to the hospital, you get stitched up. Where are you sent? You're sent back home. Well, if you live outdoors, that's back to the concrete and the pavement and the anger and the difficulties and the darkness. And he was struggling so hard. In fact, I even had to bar him from coming to church because his behaviors escalated so much that it just wasn't safe to have him in our community. But thanks to being a pastor in a service agency, I didn't have to bar him from services with this agency. And so we were able to keep this connecting thread and able to talk about what is needed. And ultimately, what is needed for this man who has been so forsaken and so forgotten is a place to come where he is known and he is loved. Church of Steadfast Love is a place where people can come and be who they are. He's now able to come back to church. Having 2 Sundays where he couldn't come really reminded him of what he was missing and what he needed. And he knows he can come, and if he starts to get angry again, he just excuses himself from our presence and goes back outside. But he needs to know that he has a home. That is what Christ has done for us. He has let us know we have a home, and it is in him, and he is in us. He came so that we would have life, so that we would have relationship, that life-giving relationship that is so needed for each and every one of us, where we are known for who and what we are, and we are loved. Sometimes we think we just come to this place for coffee. But that's not true. We come to this place because we need to hear, your sins are forgiven. We come to this place to lay down the weight of our fears and our transgressions, to hear that invitation that is for each and every one of us. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. For the forgiveness of sin. We come to this place to remember we are not alone, but here we are formed into the very body of Christ. And from this table, then, we are sent individually and as the body out into this world for the sake of all creation. Thanks be to God. Amen.